Welcome to the Football Podcast. This is your host, Mr. Number 9.
And this is The Fool.
Hello, everyone. Okay, much apologies. We did do a pseudo-live podcast last week, but we several technical issues with recording, but all things going forward, we should be good for podcasts for the rest of the season and recording over online, right?
Yeah, I think our latest way of recording looks like it's going to be better. So hopefully it all works out.
Yeah, so far so good. And we've already started the season, but I still think we can, because it's early enough that we can still do a bit of a preview and talk about the silly season. Now, Let's just go over, I think you and I are both quite disappointed at our club's summer dealings. I think for you at least, you could be slightly less disappointed. It's not like your team could buy players.
Yeah, exactly. Disappointed, but at the same point, it wasn't a lot they could do. I mean,
yeah,
most of what happened was going to have to happen, except for the very end with David Luiz. But at the same point, there seems like there must have been some background stuff going on there. So better than simmering and causing dissent, I guess.
The way I look at it, there's something about, I don't think Frank Lampard's played with David Luiz. I don't think he would have told him to go. He knows he's got like a very limited squad and he needs every experienced player, especially with all these loan signings going. By all means, it seems to be someone else in the club structure who's pissed him off and he's basically feels disrespected and gone, all right, I'm going to leave now.
Yeah. I haven't really been the bottom of that, where it was. I don't think it'd be Lampard. It doesn't really seem like those two would have a problem. As you say, seeing they played together.
Yeah.
Less because it was just a David Luiz, because he played with Lampard, he felt like he'd play under Lampard, because he'd like, but I played with you, so that's the only thing that where that would come in.
But then I'd assume he'd leave for a club somewhere else, not
Yeah, Arsenal. Yeah, exactly.
In that situation. If that were the situation, I would think David Luiz would go, like, sorry, I don't think this is working between us, and I think I'm going to make it harder for you in your first season for Chelsea, and I don't want that. So he goes to, like, you know, Fenerbahce or, like, you know, Lille.
Spain or France in the world. Or Germany or Italy or something. Yeah, he said there's plenty of clubs around the world. Why go to Arsenal? Even if it was the Premier League, like, why the crosstown rivals?
Why Arsenal? You know,
There's better places to go there. Yeah. It's the bit that doesn't make as much sense to me. Like, I didn't think David Luiz was that upset with everybody that he'd be like, you know what, screw you, I'm going to Arsenal. So.
Yeah, and Frank Lampard, even if he was like, you don't really fit my system, David, and I'm not going to... He would have probably gone, look, play for me for one season. You know, probably I won't need you after this season because of this. I'm going to be up front with you, so come on. But, you know, one season, give it our best, and, you know, we'll help you find a good club for you to go to.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, watching the United-Chelsea game, the commentators are talking about the Eden Hazard-sized hole, but I didn't really feel that there was an Eden Hazard-sized hole in that game. I felt there was a David Luiz-sized hole, and I'm not David Luiz's biggest fan, and yet I'm still like, we needed him in that game.
Let's be honest, though, there was a Kante-sized hole in that Chelsea team, I think.
Yeah, but Kante's still there, it's okay. There was a Kante-sized hole as well, like, and it looks like the structure Lampard will play is closer to he used to play under, and so therefore Kante can play in his better position as a deep-lying midfielder alongside
Jorginho. I think the two deep-lying midfielder combo will need it, because I think Super Frank is going to play Zuma, despite his mistake in that game, and I think he's going to have a young centre-back pairing who are going to go out wide while his full-backs run up.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I like Christensen. Christensen in that game seemed pretty good. I used to like Zuma.
Yeah.
But the 2 years he's been away at Stoke and at Everton don't seem to have made him a better player, which is a bit disappointing from my point of view. Would have been nicer to see him. I feel like he was playing worse than when he left to go on loans. But maybe it's just a early season thing and it'll get better.
Yeah.
Because I remember him being pretty good last time he was actually, you know, in the mix and not off on loan.
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely 4-0 flattered United. Definitely flattered United. But I think 2-0 would have been fair. Yeah, I think United got two lucky goals, but the two goals they got off the counter were well deserved. Like, they were well executed, pretty well made counter attacks.
Yeah, no, the counter attack ones were great, but that said, if you're counting the lucky goals outright, but the bonus goals, they were the bonus goals. It's the reason why they got scored is because Jassy was pushing forward because they were behind.
Yeah.
And if they hadn't been behind because, the more unfortunate goals, then it might have been different. But
yeah.
Those goals were awesome goals. I'm not taking anything away from United. I mean, they played the game they needed to play.
It wouldn't have happened if Chelsea weren't behind the eight ball and needing to chase to get the 3 points. You're absolutely right. That being said, I'm a bit less pessimistic after that first game because, heck, we've beaten one team that finished in the top six last season. But the transfer season was not great for United. I think very short on the midfield, and we didn't replace Lukaku.
Yeah.
So our forward line is okay. I trust Rashford. He's going to get goals, and I think if you play Martial, he's also going to get goals. But neither of these guys are 20 plus goals a season guys. Apart, Martial did it in his debut season, but he hasn't replicated that form. And we don't have an out and out goal scorer back in the team, which Lukaku is.
Yeah, well, that is. You are missing, as you say, that guy that just gets all the goals. So it's going to be interesting to see how everybody else sort of steps up and whether there can be the sort of wide-ranging goals against across everyone. But
if the rest of the forward line and midfielders chip in, then getting 15 to 20 goals from your front two main attackers are fine. But, Lindegaard is probably good for maybe 10 goals a season in the league if he's having a good season. And that would be a very good performance by Lindegaard. Don't get me wrong, because he does assist and he does generate, he's not in the team to score goals. He's just there to generate attacking threat in that final third and come back and defend quickly if they need to.
Yeah.
And and Pogba is in there as an attacking midfielder, but also sort of like the first line of intercepting and pressing when United need to press on the opposition's opening third.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
So if they're going to do, and United very much so look like they weren't playing with two deep-lying midfielders. They're going, McTominay was playing as a deep-lying midfielder and Pereira was playing as a deep-lying midfielder and McTominay was pretty much given a free role. He could go up and attack or he could come back and lie deep and defend depending on the situation.
Yeah.
And I think if this is United's goal game plan, it looks very much like they're planning to take teams out on the counter, which I think is the only way they'll beat the other teams in who finished in the top six ahead of them last season.
Yeah. But they did seem pretty good at that, so.
Yeah, I mean, they seem pretty good at that against Chelsea, who, to be fair to them, only playing in their first game.
And you say with reasonable changes through it all.
Yeah, and so. Yes, City have lost company, so maybe their defense is a bit vulnerable. Liverpool are still Liverpool, but you know what I think about Liverpool. I think Liverpool got the third highest points total in a Premiership season last season, and they still finished second to City, who ended up winning a domestic treble, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
While doing all that. And we got to remember, they did a luck index, ESPN, and Manchester City were the least lucky team in the league last season, as in they got the least...
Really? Wow.
Least calls and the most number of hits. So they were the least... They had the least amount of luck go their way. Plus, I think they were a very injury-hit squad last season as well.
I think we mentioned it several times. The few podcasts we had, I think each time there was, oh, look, City's got injuries sort of thing.
Yeah,
you said right. They had a reasonable amount of injuries. I'm surprised at the luck thing, but then at the same time, sort of not given it's City and they're just that damn good.
Just that damn good. But this is the thing with the injury situation they had, they still beat a Liverpool team that only lost once last season. And you can't go back to back seasons expecting that injury record for Liverpool. So I don't think Liverpool has bought enough squad players who are going to come in. Like, they need a few more players in that Jesse Lingard mold who are happy to be, and Scott McTominay's, you know, those guys who are going to give you 10, 15 starts a season to give your, you know, your stars a rest during the important games.
Yeah.
We know that Man City are the only squad in the competition that can soak up that level of injury and still win the league and get 90 plus points. Not just win the league in style. And any other year, they would have won by 10, 15 points.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you're right. They're about the only team, or they are currently the only team that could do that.
If Liverpool can pull off that injury record this season as well, it's no longer a luck thing. That means they've got the best medical staff in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, they're all going to be bought by Manchester City the season after that. Because why not? Like, who wouldn't?
Exactly.
Like, Jurgen Klopp is a great strategist and a great coach, but he's not a medical man. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Yeah, if that sort of injury record goes there, you have to say that their medical team's ridiculously good.
Yeah.
And you're right. And then suddenly City throw the money at them, you know, maybe PSG and others, they've got plenty of money, so you don't keep those sort of backroom staff for long at that point.
Exactly. And we know City are very good at recruiting the right backroom staff as well. Exactly. That's a hallmark of their organization. I mean, that aside, Liverpool already have an injury to Alisson, which they say are going to be, who they say will come back very quick and whatnot. And their backup keeper, Adrian, did pretty well in the Super Cup against Chelsea.
Yeah.
But that being said, Alisson is a big blow if he is injured or he picks up a reoccurring injury. But then again, he is a keeper, so putting him back into full match fitness is not as difficult as getting an outfield player back into match fitness.
Yeah.
That being said, the City are already without Leroy Sané, who, let's be honest, Leroy Sané, Bayern Munich wanted to buy him, and Manchester City fans were going, they need to offer at least 120 million, and I'm like, are you serious? By my counts, that's 150 million in Man United dollars. So yeah, we'll give you that money right now, please, if you give us Leroy Sané. 120 only? Really?
Yeah, exactly.
He's a special, special player. Wait, Bayern Munich wants him. He must be a very special player. And he's obviously been a special player for City. But City are the only team in the world I know who can basically absorb a loss. You can't shrug it off because he's that special a player, but they can absorb a loss like that and adapt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, they have the coach and they have the organization to do that. Like, if I were to think of a similar situation for Liverpool, if Mane got injured, I'm like, that's a big blow for Liverpool's season.
That would be a big blow for Liverpool's season. You're right. At City, it's a blow, but not one, you know, they might stagger a little bit, but so far not, but it's not really going to slow them down that much.
Exactly, and like, you know, even if someone like Sterling, who's like, you know, player of the year level player, were to get injured for like 3 months for them, I'm like, well, City still have reserves, bro. There's still good players to come up and replace Sterling, like, but, you know, replace Firmino or Salah for Liverpool? Tough.
Very tough.
Very tough. Not that they're going to get injured, like, necessarily, but I think given they've had there's been a lot of wear and tear on Mane and Salah. They've played AFCON. Mane played in the finals, which Senegal lost. And Firmino played Copa as well, so...
Yeah, there's a lot of football for some of those players. And then
there's a lot of football.
A reasonable long season coming as well, you know, that's European.
Exactly.
And all the cups and everything. So there's a good possibility that some of them might pick up at least some niggles that keep them out for a few weeks. And, you know, you say at Liverpool, that might be a bigger problem.
True. And, like, maybe the niggles, they'll be managing them properly, and that's fair. That could happen. And there's a difference between, like, not being able to play for a couple of weeks at your best versus you are out for 2 months levels of injury.
Yeah, exactly.
So there is always that. But I still think Liverpool's squad is shallow. I don't see them win. I think City are winning the league. Let's just put it out there. I don't see them losing.
Yeah, I mean, I always like to be optimistic at the beginning of the season, but I think you're right. I think City's probably the team to beat. Maybe they'd shown a little bit of a falter step in the first week. I might have been, well, maybe Liverpool can push them or, you know, be the front runners, but I have the feeling that City's the team to beat. Liverpool probably pushed them, but...
Yeah. I mean, anybody who plays in any of the fantasy leagues I play in are not going to be surprised to find out that I thought City were going to start off strong. But they even surprised me by how strong they started.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was a good game to watch, though.
Oh, yeah. But looking at that game, West Ham seemed to start every season very poor.
Oh, very poor.
Let's be fair, home advantage is nothing for West Ham because they're very bad at London Stadium.
Yeah. Do seem to not have the best home record. I wouldn't be able to rattle any stats off my head, but just thinking on it, just they always seem to not do well there. Yeah.